This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan in studio. We'll hear reports from Don Wick and Sierra Doctor. Don Wick is on the road today near Jamestown, North Dakota.
Glorious to be out and about today as we're kicking off the Pioneer Agronomy updates for the 2023 growing season. Putting in a plot here in the Jamestown area. We got Leon Klecky that's out there getting this plot put in the ground, and it's great to see. Field agronomist Eric Lagge is with us. Eric, great to have you. It's our first go around. Appreciate the chance to connect.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's exciting to finally be out in the field here. Like you said, we're in the Jamestown area, and we're starting to finally see some field activity starting up.
Fantastic. It's been such a late start. We're all itching to go. In this Jamestown area, can you kind of give us the flavor? What are field conditions like?
Yeah, so things in my area, at least, you know, in the Jamestown area, kind of starting to kick off. Where field conditions are good. We got good moisture. A lot of that snowpack, typically in a normal year, there's enough frost where a lot of that water runs off. I think we saw a good amount of it kind of uptake into the soil, which is leading to some good moisture for seeding. There's a lot of guys going in this area, and then as you get further west as well.
It's good to be out moving. That forecast, what's that mean for us as far as continuing down that path?
Yeah, so, you know, some guys were a little worried earlier in the week, you know, about maybe putting some corn in the ground, you know, if we do get a little moisture. But with the way the forecast is shaping up with, you know, getting up into the 70s and those nighttime high or lows staying at 50 or above is a big deal for especially corn and soybeans. We want to make sure we're, you know, have that soil temp around 50 degrees or above. So that'll get that corn up out of the ground, you know, hopefully within 10 days after planting with the way the forecast is looking.
We don't get a lot of GDUs in that early part of May, so we're not really behind when you take a look at where we're sitting.
No, not at all. I think I was just actually looking at it this morning. The last 2 days here, each day, yesterday and today, we had, you know, depending on the area, between 12 and 13 GDUs for the entire day. So it's pretty marginal. You know, corn in particular is going to take anywhere from 115 to 125 GDUs to emerge out of the ground. So, you know, if we're only accumulating 12 to 13 GDUs in a day, it's going to take, you know, roughly 10 days to come out of the ground. With some moisture in the forecast, things are looking really favorable.
We're looking forward to a big season ahead with our Pioneer Agronomy updates. Eric, great to have you on board with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun.
Eric Lagge with us, field agronomist. And again, we got Leon Klecky out there putting his crop in the ground here. Again, our Pioneer Agronomy update, along with Sierra Doctor. I'm Don Wick, on the go for the Red River Farm Network.
Well, up to an inch and a half of rain with locally more is expected across much of the region from the eastern Dakotas to Wisconsin into Monday. World Weather Incorporated says there are some locations that could see even as much as 2.5 inches. Near daily rain showers will occur Tuesday through Thursday with in most areas from eastern Dakotas into eastern Kansas. Temperatures are expected to be mild with highs ranging from the middle and upper 60s to the mid 70s.
A good mix of rain and sunshine is expected across the Midwest over the next 2 weeks, allowing planting progress to occur between rain showers. World Weather Incorporated says the rain showers will maintain favorable soil moisture in most areas, but areas from southeastern South Dakota into western Iowa and eastern Kansas into Missouri will need more rain to restore topsoil moisture.
Southwest Minnesota farmer Carolyn Olson says their farm is wrapped up on the small grains.
Well, currently we've been kind of going around potholes getting ready to plant corn, but we finished our small grain planting this morning, so we're pretty excited about that. We've got about close to 300 acres of wheat and oats and alfalfa seeded already, so that was good. It's been windy and warm this week, so that has really helped to dry out conditions, and farmers are really hitting it hard right now.
Olson says their farm in Lyon County is a little behind recent years.
Well, my Facebook memories like to remind me that it wasn't that long ago we had a 6-inch snowfall a few days prior. So, you know, May can bring all kinds of unpredictable weather. So asking what an average is going to be difficult. But we're behind what we've been the past few years. The past few years we've had our small grain up already at this point, and now we're still waiting for it to emerge.
Farmers in southwestern North Dakota are making good planting progress. John Wirt is in the New England area.
A lot of acres have been going in around this area, and I think guys are happy how smooth it's going. There is some wet spots out there that we've been finding, but just been going around them basically and try to keep rolling.
Field conditions are very good.
They are. Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing a half inch of rain to even things out and get that topsoil wet again, because it is so uneven. And any field that's got shelter belts or farmstead, there's still snow in the trees, and so the water's still running through the fields there, and we're just leaving those fields for now.
And field work continues to pick up across the region. Ag Country Farm Credit Services Vice President of Insurance and Commodity Marketing, Rob Froning, says seed is going in the ground.
In my travels here up and down the valley and stuff, we've definitely seen some tractors move, seen some seed going in the ground. Love to see the sunshine. As much as we don't like the wind has helped dry some things out. We get a little calmer weather here now, and the dust isn't blowing quite as bad, but we are certainly getting some crop in the ground, which is always fun to see this time of year, and we know in a few weeks hopefully these black fields will be turning green.
And Froning is not as concerned with prevent plant right now.
Again, 2 weeks ago we saw snow on the ground, so we were a little bit nervous. As it dried up here and we're getting in, we're not as concerned. There's still going to be some pockets probably that if we get a shower here or there that could create some prevent plant issues. We just need to watch those final plant dates come the end of May and into June based on the crop and the county that we're in. Make sure we're talking to our crop insurance agent if there is some of that.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Grains continue to see strength today in the markets. Top Third Ag Marketing Senior Risk Manager Dan Smith says corn is following wheat, but exports are down.
Well, most of all, we got to get through the Black Sea grain corridor. But also, we have to look out to the number on the 12th, the WASDE number. Now, exports this week were miserable in corn. They have been miserable. We're off 35% versus this time last year. China has turned their attention to South America and Africa.
This year's crop progress will play a big factor in markets throughout the season.
If they start decreasing the usage as far as usage and exports, it's going to add to our bottom line carryout. You know, and if we start producing that 180 crop and we do get the crop planted into the northern tiered states, which looks like weather there is also improving, you know, we're going to be sitting with about a 2 billion bushel carryout. And that doesn't spell $5.50 or $6 corn. And I think that's what people need to be aware of. So if we do get a rally back that we're seeing now, I believe people will put some protection in through August to get through the June 30th report.
Well, green might be popping up after a cold winter, but pastures aren't quite ready for spring turnout yet. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
NDSU Extension says a combination of fall drought and delayed spring is causing a significant delay in grass development and growth this year. NDSU Extension Livestock Environmental Stewardship Specialist Miranda Meehan says pastures might not be ready for another 4 weeks.
So there's two things that happened. The first one is this fall we had that dry fall and we had poor tiller development. So our cool season grasses are having to start over and develop that tiller this spring, which delays things 1 to 2 weeks. The second thing is with the cool temperatures that we've had, we are way behind on growing degree days. We usually start accumulating growing degree days the last week in March, the first week in April, depending where you're at in the state, and we didn't start until around April 13th in a lot of locations. So we're expecting, between those two things, a four-week delay.
Meehan says the warm temperatures should help spur growth along, but cautions livestock producers that a 45 to 60% loss of forage production can be sacrificed by grazing too early.
So if we're grazing too early, it can it can reduce our forage production by up to 60%. It can cost you grazing days at the end of our grazing season because we won't be able to capture that regrowth. The plant uses those leaves to capture sunlight and make food for itself to grow. And if we're removing those leaves, it's not able to capture that sunlight and grow as effectively. So we really encourage you to wait until the most common species in that pasture, if it's brome or crested wheatgrass or tame grass species, until they reach that three-leaf stage, which is grazing readiness. Or if you're in a native pasture, waiting until those plants, such as western wheatgrass, reach the 3.5-leaf stage.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The cooler temperatures this spring has AgriGold agronomist Nick Frederiking worried about below-ground pests.
We're a little bit deceived at the beginning of April, comparatively to the past few years. Notably last year, we were so wet and drawn out, we didn't get to plant much in April. It's always exciting when you get that opportunity, and this year we had that opportunity. About the second week of April, things were warm, things were working very well in the field. And, you know, a good chunk of acres went into the ground. But the forecast behind that week, it got pretty chilly, got cold, a little bit wet in some areas, and that leads to slow seedling emergence. And so ultimately, when we have slow seedling emergence in the early part of our planting season, we have to recognize that there are some associated risks.
Frederiking says insecticide use has the potential to wear off before plants are ready to defend themselves.
First one, the pest pressure. So things like wireworm, white grub, seed corn maggot, and early emerged corn is probably subject to some black cutworm pressure. So how do we protect against them? Well, most often when farmers buy their seeds and they're going out to plant this stuff, they have a pretty good quality seed treatment on these seeds, which is supposed to protect us from early season disease, and most of them have a pretty good insecticide package as well.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ariana Schumacher. Ariana, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week this week?
This week we'll be talking about bison production and research here in South Dakota. I went out to the West River side of the state and talked to a bison producer as well as a researcher with SDSU.
Is the research for bison production similar to that of beef, or is it a little different?
A little bit, but a lot of the practices are the same. Bison just are a little more hands-off when it comes to production because they are kind of a wild animal still. So there were some differences with that, but I know the demand for bison meat is also going up. So we talked a little bit about some of those new research methods that SDSU is using at their Bison Research Center.
Are you seeing more interest in bison production or maybe even shifts in where bison are being raised?
Yeah, so with recent drought conditions, the bison kind of thrive in those drought conditions, and they're starting to see more herds popping up in the eastern side of the state with different drought patterns, rainfall patterns, and we think that we'll be seeing more on the eastern side of the state. I know even if you just drive through the eastern side of the state, you can see some bison herds along the side of the interstate, things like that. So they expect to see an increase in bison production, and they also expect to see new bison producers popping up. They said they've seen some at auctions, some at informational sessions. So they expect to see newer herds popping up throughout the entire state.
Well, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week.
Look at markets before we leave you. Minneapolis, July wheat, 25¾ higher at 837¾. September, 25¾ higher at 841¼. Chicago wheat, 15¾ higher at 660¾. Kansas City, 37¼ higher at 835½. July corn, 7¾ higher at 597. Soybeans, July, 18¼ higher at 1436. Live cattle, 22 cents higher for June. August, down 2 cents. Lean hogs, down $3.42. This is the Red River Farm Network.